Hi, this is Mike Jalonen, and from Bank of America Securities. Good morning to everyone, afternoon and evening, as I've been our call on this virtual conference. We're very pleased to have from Osisko Gold Royalties, Sean Roosen, CEO, to present for the company. Sean will speak to the slides that have been uploaded, and he will tell you what slide he's on, and then after that we'll go to Q&A. And Sean, we'll pass the podium to yourself.
Personally. Thank you very much, Mike, and thanks everybody for being here, and I hope everybody's keeping well. I got a slide deck that's been uploaded into the system at BAML, and I'll be following that. I'll call it the slide numbers because we're going to stick with the fireside chat presentation, so I'm just going to skip through the highlights. In terms of where we sit with Osisko Gold Royalties, we started this company in 2014 after the sale of Osisko One to Yamana Agnico for $4.3 billion. And in that time, we've been able to build out a significant portfolio. We started with one producing royalty, the Canadian Malartic Royalty, and four non-producing royalties, and we sit today with a total portfolio of over 135 royalties, as you can see on page four, and I'm assuming everybody's read the forward-looking statements as we go forward, as I will make some forward-looking statements in this presentation. So we are now at 16 producing royalties in the portfolio, and we have an industry-leading 91% gross margin. And the bulk of our assets are on pure gold mines, and they are mostly driven by pure royalties as opposed to streams at this point in time. We do have a couple of offtakes which skewed some of the things, but we sold most of those offtakes, and we now sit at 91% cash operating margin, which I think is a pretty healthy margin by anybody's standards in any industry worldwide. Moving on to the next slide in terms of why we're here today. As you can see, we were paying a 1.5% dividend yield, and that is also off the back of a 1%, one times NAV valuation by consensus in the space. So the opportunity for shareholders today, we have lagged due to a few different reasons that we'll get into further in the presentation, but I think that those reasons are somewhat behind us now, and we should see a re-rate in the company as we come into the summer months here and we get through the COVID-19 delays that have happened in some of the assets and we ramp back up and some of our projects take on their normal course evolution as we see, for example, the Eagle Mine operated by Victoria come into production this year and it's on its way through commercial production. We are highly liquid stock. We trade about U.S. $13 million per day, both on the NYSE and on the TSX. So one of the highest liquidity ratios in the space. Strong balance sheet with over $170 million of cash and $640 million of total financial capacity to execute transactions. I would also add that we have significant shareholders in our stock, our largest shareholder, is the Caisse Depot, and they have been they have syndicated in the past with us. So assuming we need to syndicate for a larger deal, we certainly have the right partnerships in place, obviously subject to the quality of the deal. So we feel very comfortable being able to duke it out at the larger size levels, and certainly we can do a $500 million US dollar deal with 24 hours notice if required. But we can participate in much larger events if we need to. In terms of our business model, and this has attracted some discussion around it, we are a hybrid. And on page six, you can see how we allocate our capital. We allocate 75% of our assets and investments in the traditional royalty and streaming business. And that would be evidence, for example, in the royalty and streaming deal that we did with Victoria Gold, where we purchased a 5% royalty, which is now coming to fruition in 2018. That mine is now fully built out and is going on. And that was a shovel-ready project, last money in, traditional type strategy on project finance for a royalty and a stream. That is also complemented by our earlier stage strategy that we call the accelerator business. And the accelerator business really involves putting together a solid asset with a significant management team and then providing financial oversight to get the project up and going and to bring in other market participants alongside of us to evolve a project, generally speaking, an earlier stage development asset or a late stage exploration asset. The most successful of the accelerator companies thus far is obviously Osisko Mining under the symbol of OSK on the TSX. John Brzezinski has led the charge with that company. And the star project there is the Windfall Lake project in northern Quebec. And that company has gone from $8 million market cap to north of $1 billion Canadian. But more importantly, it's drilled 1.35 million meters into that deposit and has identified over 5 million ounces of high-grade underground access ounces by ramp. And, you know, that's when the royalty is working well, and we've earned a 2 to 3% royalty on that in the early days. The other project that comes in our accelerator model is Caribou, which is graduating really from a late-stage exploration company into developer, and has set the stage to go into the permitting process to build a 185,000-ounce-a-year mine with scalability that we see going up to 250 and maybe on to 400,000 ounces a year as the project evolves. So those are our very potent returns. Some of the returns in the accelerator model have been exceptional, such as Arizona Mining, where we put in a $15 million investment. We took a $34 million net profit.
This is not a
value. Equity component of the loan on the 1% royalty, and that royalty is probably worth somewhere north of $60 million. So we've had some pretty exceptional returns, more than double digits, more triple digit returns in the accelerator model, and it remains somewhat unique to Osisko in an uptick gold market like we have at present. These are extremely important aspects of our business. Sorry, there might have been some background noise there. I apologize for that. The accelerator model continues to deliver, and you know, we see other things coming into the fold. And as we look back at our history as the Osisko Group, we really are brownfield specialists. And the Canadian Malartic project is one that is close to our heart. We started that project back in 2006. We built the mine and commissioned it in 2011, and we sold it in 2014. It remains our flagship asset, having delivered 33,500 ounces of zero-cost gold in 2019 to our shareholders, which we see a summary of on slide 8. And as we get further into this, you know, we see the underground potential at Canadian Malartic continue to grow, and is considered one of the most valuable royalties, if not the most valuable royalty in the world. And it sits with Canada's lowest cost mill, 55,000 ton a day mill that operates on Terrafel power in Quebec, which is at about 3.8 cents US per kilowatt hour. So an exceptional operation. And now, as we can see on page 9, this deposit just keeps getting better. It is world class. There was 8 million ounces of production from the underground when we bought the project. There'll be close to 10 million ounces of production by the time the open pit is finished. And now there's been a further 10 million ounces delineated in the underground. And this is really sort of driving future value. And it's not included in our stock right now. And we really see Canadian Malartic Underground as one of the unsung catalysts that shareholders should be paying attention to as they consider the investment in the company. There is a larger summary of that on our website, as well as if you visit Yamana and Agnico. This is a flagship asset for both of those companies, and it is Canada's largest producing gold mine, having produced just under 700,000 ounces last year, and guidance for this year, of course, will be affected by COVID-19, but it should be Canada's top producer in terms of ounces. The latest asset into the fray on page 10 is the Eagle asset, which you can see here is Canada's latest entrant. We have a 5% royalty on this, and that project is looking to go to 220,000 ounces a year, which would net us more than 10,000 ounces zero-cost gold. So I'm going to skip through a few of these other slides because I do want to just touch on our balance sheet and a little bit on Barkerville. Page 25 shows you a brief summary of Barkerville. We bought this project in September of last year, and I think Mike and I will get into it a little bit deeper in the discussion. Currently sits at 4.4 million ounces. Subsequent to the acquisition, there has been quite a bit of drilling. We have an underlying 4 to 5% royalty on this project. It is an exceptional project in a couple of ways. We have a 52-mile-long trend, mineralized trend that's been outlined here, an existing mill at the QR mill that we're working to use in the newer project. And we've drilled about 500,000 meters into this deposit, and it continues at depth. The first 4.4 million ounces that's been identified is just really from surface to 350 meters on about 2.5 miles of the known trend. So there'll be generations of exploration here. And what everybody needs to take away from Barkerville is that this is an entire mining camp, not unlike Timmins or Val d'Or or Rouyn-Noranda, Red Lake. And it's fully controlled by North Spirit Discovery Group, which is 100% subsidiary of Osisko Gold Royalties. And we have multiple parties there looking to join us in the financing of that aspect of the project. So we'll touch on that a little more with Mike, but we think that that project gets financed shortly. In terms of our balance sheet, and then I'll jump in with Mike here. If you look at slide 22, you can see a basic summary here, $113 million U.S. in cash at the end of the quarter. We did raise $85 million with the Investissement Québec, which is a Quebec government's investment platform here in April, bringing our total cash on hand to $173 million U.S. dollars with that. Our debt sits at $302, so if you do the math, that leaves us sitting at net debt of about $181 million of net debt on the company, and then if you look at our equity portfolio, there's $180 million there. So by the time you do the math and figure it all out, we're actually in a cash positive position. If we look at all the liquid assets that are in the company, we do have a credit line available for just under $300 million in case of an acquisition, with another $100 million. Available, and we also have the ability to syndicate with existing contracts with our underpinning shareholders and other parties. So we can and will play in the bigger leagues. And the shares outstanding at 165 million. We have bought back stock last year and the year before, having purchased around just under $200 million of stock back from the company. And Mike, I think I'll stop there, and we can jump into some of the questions that you had prepared.
Okay, and I'm sure, well, hopefully there'll be some questions also. Sean, and let me just, I'll start off with one question, then we can see about the audience. Sean, at this conference, we've had several of your streaming royalty peers have new CEOs aboard. And In your case, you're still there, but you have an entire senior new management team. Can you go over the key executives that you have, that you brought on board, and what skill sets they bring to help out Osisko?
So, Sandy, certainly, yeah. So we have had some significant changes at the Osisko Gold Royalties as we move forward. Sandeep Singh has joined us as president of Osisko as of January 1st, and Sandeep, as he says in his intro, is new to the company in this role, but not new to the company, as he's been one of our primary investment bankers through different seats that he's held, from BMO to Dundee, and then as a founder of Maxic Capital. Sandeep is a veteran M&A banker, and really brings a skill set of deal analysis and deal execution to the table, and the ability to manage an investment team. So we've flushed out with Sandeep, being led by Ian Farmer, who's our VP Corp Dev, who's working on our most of our royalty and streaming deals, and has been in the company for a long time, and has been sort of one of the key ingredients into how we structure our deals and how we approach our deals and manages a lot of the traffic around third-party deals. He is complemented by Mike Spencer, who runs the operations in Bermuda and deals with all the international deals that we're working on. And Mike is also an ex-investment banker who worked with Sandeep. And then we have been joined also by Benoit Brunet, who joined us from the Caisse de Depot, who's a CA by training, but has been involved in an awful lot of deal structuring. And his complement to us is to work on strategy and innovation, and also to help us on our ESG complement. And then not new to the company is Fred Ruel, who was our controller, who has stepped up to take the role as CFO. So Fred's been with us from the Osisko One days through the transition, incubation, and IPO of Osisko Gold Royalties, and he was one of the driving forces when we listed the company in 2016 on the NYSE. He provides the continuity and depth and brings a huge skill set to the table in terms of being a world-class CFO and having been working with the New York Stock Exchange for several years, and that pretty much flushes out the higher-level team. We have some younger people that have joined in, but that's really a compliment that we bring to the table right now. So Mike, that's the new and improved Osisko.
Okay, thank you. And actually, we've got some questions now, Sean, have come in. And an investor, I am new to the story. What has caused the company's stock performance to material lag the other royalty companies? And why is it traded at such a discount? And is the business model different? That's the question.
So I touched on our accelerator model business. I think that it is a business model for the times that we were in. We had taken some lumps last year and earlier this year with the Renard Diamond Mine having gone into bankruptcy, and we've managed our way through that. That mine is currently shut in, which has been sort of a drag on value. But we are confident that the diamond markets will recover like they did after the 2008 and 2009 crisis. I mean, obviously, this one is different in that there was no health crisis involved previously, but we are seeing diamond sales in China starting to pick up as they've reopened their stores. So that's a commodity-driven issue as diamond prices were contracted significantly, especially coming into the COVID-19 crisis. We also dealt with the Amsler Lydian story in Armenia. So I think most of these things are behind us and have been digested by the marketplace. I don't foresee any real problems as we go forward. And of course, the third one was the acquisition of Barkerville, which some people in the marketplace, especially my competitors, said that we were out of our lane in terms of being a royalty and streaming company with the acquisition of that project. But I'm here to give you an update on that today. Barkerville continues to evolve fairly quickly. The mine build would not be for another 24 months. So there's no big dollars going into the project in the meantime. We did feel that it was important for us to have this project and turn it in to a price setter instead of a price taker. We felt that the value gap was too high. We'd owned 32% of the equity and the royalty prior to this. And I think that some of the pressure will come off from that transaction as we get further into the North Spirit piece. But obviously, since we bought that project, gold is up over $200 an ounce, and the value of this project has increased with more ounces having been drilled off and going forward. And Mike, we're looking forward to finishing up that financing, hopefully, over the course of the summer, and we have multiple parties that are working on it. And obviously, the time and the gold price have been our friend on the value here. And I think that this is an asset that obviously can easily go 5 million ounces. We've got underground drilling under the existing resource down to 900 meters, and could certainly give you eyes on 10 million ounces. And it is an entire mining camp. So we think that it was careful and prudent for our shareholders to be the guiding light on this project, And as we get the financing at North Spirit done, we'll dilute the Osisko shareholders down. Our investment there is nearing completion. So, you know, we'll bring third-party money into the deal at the appropriate level, and our shareholders will maintain the royalties and stream as well as an equity position in North Spirit. And as more capital comes to bear on that project, we should see the Osisko shareholders get some pretty exceptional returns.
Now, what does North Spirit put into this? Osisko shareholders bought Barkerville, and some company is going to be a JV partner. But North Spirit, they kind of, I'm just wondering what they bring to the table.
Well, North Spirit is really, you know, you could look at it as a joint venture vehicle, Mike. So the Osisko shareholders in North Spirit have contributed the asset. And if we sell shares within North Spirit, it will be just to raise the capital to complement the permitting and mine build process. So, you know, our value there is arguably about $260 million U.S. So we would want to see, if we're going to be taking dilution, we want to see cash come in at a premium to what the Osisko shareholders have put the asset in at.
Okay. And now the JV partner, who would operate it? A JV partner coming in, would they just be a minority holder? North Spirit would operate?
At this point in time, North Spirit has a fully functioning team for permitting and construction, and the joint venture, it would operate as an independent company, much like the way the Canadian Malartic operates between Yamana and Agnico. So, you know, we'd have the Osisko on one side, but North Spirit, the mine site, would have its own management group in a traditional joint venture, either a financial joint venture or corporate joint venture.
Okay, I'll look forward to seeing the structure of that deal. And now, the your peers at this conference, and I'm sure you may have heard about their conference calls, Franco and Wheaton are seeing up to $1 billion deals or streaming deals for byproduct precious metal revenues on base metal mines. And Royal Gold is more in the $100 to $500 million range. And private money is around as other streaming companies, royalty companies. Just wondering what your M&A strategy is with the royalty space and streaming space and precious metals.
Yeah, I think, Mike, you know, we're pretty comfortable in the $100 to $500 million bracket as well. We like to bring a little more than just money to the table. Sometimes we also have some assets that we can trade. And, you know, we've looked at the market. There are multiple sources of cash only. But our portfolio, which is unique to us, is we actually do control or have influence on some companies that we're invested in. And Barkerville is obviously the one that we have the most control over. So we have the ability to not only bring money to the table, but also some assets that we've brought along the way. And we've always said that, you know, it's an asset-driven business. There's lots of cash around on a sunny day. Now, the royalty and streaming cash tends to be more when the equity markets are closed. So we see this market as pretty good for us. So we've got something unique in terms of our portfolio of equity positions that, you know, we saw were pretty valuable in the South 32 takeout of Arizona Mining. You know, we bought $5 million worth of stock, paid $10 million for the royalty, and we wouldn't have gotten the royalty had we not bought the stock. And we made $34 million net on that $5 million equity investment. So we see this as a pretty good market for us. We've got a strange time when the equity markets haven't really cracked open in a big way yet, but the commodity price is up and on precious metals. And as our competitors have said, you know, the base metal guys haven't really seen the big value on their assets, so they're more likely to work on their precious metal offtake byproducts. So we think it's a pretty good time for us, and our business strategy with the accelerator model fits well here and is unique to us, and I think gives shareholders a little more torque in the current environment.
Okay. One investor kind of read my mind, sent a question just in, saying that I guess he must have listened to the other presentations, that all the royalty companies have balance sheets to deploy. He's like, is the competition fierce right now to find attractive deals? And then he said, it feels like landing a deal now might be a winner's curse.
Yeah, I think that that's a risk. I mean, the advantage that we have, obviously, is that we have about, you know, enough assets that are already paid for our shareholders to take us from our, you know, last year's just under 80,000 GEOs to 140,000 GEOs. So our shareholders have already, you know, been exposed. We've made payments into development companies, you know, like Barkerville and like Windfall Lake with Osisko Mining and Eagle, where we have organic growth and we've already secured our opportunities and we know what the cost of those opportunities are. For example, in the case of Falco, where we've written a deal, we still have investment to go in there. So we've already secured our deal pipeline and I don't want to be the winner of a zero premium deal. You know, I think that, as he said, the winner's curse is a possibility in some of these auctions that are getting too close to the premium and not leaving anything on the table. That said and done, you know, the royalties and streams always end up being worth more than people think they will, because on average, most of these royalties and streams, the resources that are originally in the valuation end up doubling or more in the long run, as we've seen with the older portfolios.
Okay, thanks for that. You mentioned one of your successes, Osisko Mining, billion market cap now. Congratulations there for getting involved early. But you have a royalty, you have equity. Eventually, they'll need capital financing. So I'm just wondering, from an Osisko Gold Royalties point of view, how do you see this situation evolving that would benefit your shareholders?
Well, obviously, you know, 75% of our business is traditional royalty and streaming financing on the, you know, what everybody calls the last money in strategy, which is, you know, once the permits have been achieved and you're ready to do the project financing, there's usually a debt, an equity, and a streaming and or royalty component. So obviously, we're going to be there to compete on this project. We know it well. You know, John and his team have led the charge, and I'm still chairman of the board there. So we have pretty good insight onto the project, and we really see it as one of the exceptional things that's happened in the space. And I was happy to be, you know, there when we incubated the deal with John, and he's really led the charge to spend over $500 million to drill out a project that I believe is probably the biggest exploration project in the world right now, with more than 20 drills turning on it pre-COVID-19 and going back up to that number as we get further back into the year as things recommission. So, you know, those are the organic opportunities that we see, Mike, and other things like that. Obviously, you know, Falco is a bit of a sleeper right now. Big project located 600 meters from the smelter. And the reason the smelter is there was built for the first 11 million ounces that came out of that project and 3.3 billion pounds of copper. That's another big project with a 17-year mine life, 6 million ounces in reserves. We have a royalty there and a streaming deal. So, we've been busy on our brownfield plan and taking advantage of our Canadian aspect here, which is unique in that Canadian projects have access to flow through financing, which has been keeping the drills in Canada turning at a rate probably 10 times what most other jurisdictions are doing, because you can raise money to drill here in Canada, and that's really been our secret weapon as we built up. Our accelerator companies have drilled off 20 million ounces in just over 5 years, and we have royalties for our shareholders on all of those ounces.
Okay. Coming near the end, Sean, but maybe going back to the evaluation question, you know, you have about 1 minute to answer this question. I apologize, but what would be the two or three big catalysts for your stock in the next 3 to 6 months that could help close the valuation, things that would happen to your asset base positively, of course?
Well, obviously, the restart of all the mines in the portfolio is ongoing, so that'll be one tick. I think underground, the Canadian Malartic project is a pretty simple one for the market to start to value. And then thirdly, we finish up the partnership on North Spirit. Those are sort of the low-hanging fruit that we are focused on winding up. And then the general evolution of the rest of the portfolio assets. And we wish our friends at Eagle, at at Victoria, all the success, they're starting to produce a significant amount of gold. And I think as that mine reaches commercial production, it'll show the potency of our accelerator business to the marketplace in general.
Okay, Sean, we're coming to the end of our time, but I want to thank you and Osisko Gold Royalties for taking the time to participate, and hopefully we could all be in Barcelona May 18th or 20th, 2021. So thank you again.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck with your investments, everybody. Stay safe.